This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're honored to be with you. And we have been pastoring a church here in Stuart for 23 plus years that God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministry. So this program is coming from that ministry. We ask that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you even this day and this hour, because we see all the things that's going on in our country and all, and what the church needs a lot of help in some areas as well. And so we trust that you'll have ears to hear today what the Spirit of God will say to you about your life, about what God's wanting to do with the church at large and all that. What's the church? It's the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile, the one new man in the body of Christ. And so we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on from 12 noon until 1 every Saturday afternoon. If there's something you'd like to hear again, we offer CDs or tapes, whatever you want. All we ask for is a love offering, right, Pastor Don? And you can make out a check to the ministry name, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail to Post Office Box 413-413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995. And we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you. And also, maybe we'll talk about this later, about the book I wrote about God's prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah as revealed in God's appointed times. We might talk about that a little bit later. But we're honored to be with you today. And we got so much going on. We just went through this Republican convention thing and all. And so we need to pray heavily for our country in this day and this hour. So before we start, I'm just going to ask my precious wife sitting across the desk from me to whatever she's got to say or wants to make an announcement. And when you get done, I'll tell them what we're going to show tomorrow for our video.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. You mean today?
Or for today. I'm thinking about something else for today.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Well, yes. Yeah, so we have been watching the television, and I just kind of excited about what's going on. You know, there's a lot of different thoughts, but, you know, we just need to seek the Lord.
That's right.
To seek the Lord.
We want God's way, right?
That's right. But we are here to spend time with you this next hour. We'll be on. And like Pastor Gene says, you can listen to us also on the internet. Where you can tell your friends and your neighbors. We want to say hello to you out there that listen to us regularly. And maybe there's somebody new for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we also want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks, Apostle and Prophetess on Andros Island, building the Temple of God.
In the Bahamas, hallelujah.
In the Bahamas, building the church. There's a building, an actual church building going up, bricks and or blocks.
Blocks, yeah, blocks. Bricks or blocks.
Blocks and steel and concrete and whatever else it takes to build a house of God.
They're getting it done, hallelujah.
And it's called the Temple of God.
Amen. So we bless them.
So we say hello to you over there on the island, and pray that there may be some people on the island will be listening to us as well, and they'll come and visit your church. Amen.
That's right.
And be blessed, and get prayed for, and get come to know the Lord Jesus and know about the things of the prophetic word,
right,
the word of God. But we do have services here in Stuart. I would mention that now. We have services here this afternoon. We'll have 4 o'clock, and Pastor Gene's going to mention in just a minute what video we're going to watch this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have service on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by, fellowship. and a little meal. And then we also come together on Friday nights, every Friday nights at 7 p.m. for our Shabbat service. And we have communion and we spend time seeking God's presence on that day. So give us a call if you'd like to know more or you'd like to have a information or a calendar about the church, and we'd be glad to mail that out to you. I'm going to give you our phone number in just a few moments, so if you have a pen or a pencil, you can write that down. Like I said, you can listen to us on WCNO.com, and you can also listen to what we're going to share today again if you'd like to, or you can listen to messages that we've done in the past. Well, the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And we're really blessed to be here.
Amen.
We're blessed to be living during this time because, you know, every person counts.
That's right.
That's what the Lord was showing me. You know, every person counts. And so we can make a difference, even though things look bad, but things are looking good, looking better. I feel that things can look better, you know, because if every person counts and if Christians will wake up and do what God's called us to do, then, you know, we can make a change.
That's right. And everybody matters to God.
We need to have hope.
That's right.
Amen. We need to have hope.
Sure do. Everybody matters. And
praise
so
God.
We're honored to be here with you. And as we said, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So we hope you can stay in for the whole program. And so we're honored to be here with you. So I was thinking this morning before I came on, Pastor Donna, when I got up early this morning, I was thinking about this season that we're in. Today it happens to be Tammuz 17. And if you look at the history with Israel over the years in the past, they had some terrible things happen to them from the time of Tammuz 19 through the 9th of Av. Well, what happened on the 9th of Av? That's when the first temple was destroyed, all right, by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And on the exact same day, it happened again in 70 AD on the 9th of Av. And so it's an incredible time. And if we look at history, there are just a lot of things that's happened to Israel during those days leading up to the 9th of Av. And so the 9th of Av, we'll probably talk about that in a couple of weeks, but there's so many things that happened on that particular day to affect Israel. And so what I've been reading the book of Ezekiel, and this week I was looking at some things. I'm ready to go into Ezekiel chapter, 17. But prior to this, I read some chapters that kind of stirred me up in the past. So I'd like to open up, if you're at home and you got your Bible, I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 8, and I think we're going to read a big part of this, and we're going to see what God had to say to Israel. And remember, the things that they did, the spirit behind those things are still active today because spirits don't die. And we can see some interesting things here, the abominations that they brought into the temple area and all that, and God was very unhappy with that. So I thought about even this week when we listened to Republican convention and all that, you know. We got a lot of things that we're accepting in the country right now. You know, a year or so ago, you know, like this thing about changing the definition of marriage. What was that, a year ago, June? It's been over a little over a year. Well, it was terrible at the time, but we see as we went along now, you can even see some comments made at the convention that we've been desensitized, and now it seems like it's nothing. It's nothing at all. But we see the Bible tells us that that's not what God's Word says. And some of the things that are going on are literally abominations to God. So we do not want to be desensitized in any way, shape, or form. Because if we do, our country's going to drift further and further away. So we have to pray biblical principles. When we pray, we have to vote biblical principles and all that. And if we do that, we're going to have a greater chance of God helping us in this country. I'm always reminded, let's go over and read that, Pastor Donna. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let's read that. And then we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 8. But we got to stay with God's principles. And if we don't, I mean, we got so many wicked ways in our country, it's unreal. And, you know, they talk to people outside the convention center there in Cleveland and all that, and they hate America. Well, why are they here? Why don't they just leave? You know, I don't understand why they hate America. You know, we're so blessed. It's because we have not turned to God. You know, a lot of those people might say they know God, but most of them don't know God, or they wouldn't feel that way, because God blessed us. We're so fortunate to be born in the United States of America. And the people that come in the right way and get citizenship, I'll tell you, they honor this country. They really do. And so we got to keep that in mind. So we see all the corruption and stuff that's coming into our country right now, but we just can't accept this, you know? We just can't accept that at all. We got to speak on the truth of what God's got in His Word. So read 2 Chronicles 7:14, honey.
Okay. Well, this is the Lord was speaking to Solomon here.
Yeah.
It says here, if my people, there's an if there, which are called by my name. So he's looking for those who know him. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways.
There you go. Then, he said seek his face, not his hand, right?
And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin.
Hallelujah.
And will heal their land.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that's a great promise. And that was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but the principle, everything in there is still active today. Because if my people, that means the ones that know the Lord, you know, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, through His Son Yeshua, well, that means we're born again and we're part of the body of Christ. So we should know the truth and we should stand on that. But we see how our country is just kind of floating away into this arena that we don't want. It's getting worse. And so wickedness is coming.
I have something to say here, too.
Okay, go right ahead, honey.
Well, you know, Solomon did a lot of things that were wrong.
That's right.
He did a lot of evil, a lot of wicked things. If you were to say today, was Solomon a good Christian? I would say most people probably say no. You know, he did a lot of things that were wrong.
Sure did.
But yet God spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think about it, when you think, well, you have to be a perfectly godly person, no, not sin at all, and then God will speak to you.
Nope.
You know, God will speak to anyone.
That's right.
So God spoke to him. It says, and I like verse 12 and verse 15 because verse 13 because, you know, it's kind of, he's telling Solomon exactly what will happen, what we just read.
Uh-huh.
But before that, it says the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Now, we know Solomon did a lot of things that were not right.
That's right.
But the Lord still appeared to him. Why? He was a person in authority, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the king, yeah.
He was the king.
Mm-hmm.
And what God spoke in the Old Testament, or God spoke to what? Kings and priests and prophets.
Prophets, yeah.
Okay. So he talked to him, he appeared to him at night, and he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And then God goes on and tells him, he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Then he goes on to say what we read earlier, if my people, right, which are called by my name. And we'll skip that and go down to verse 15. And he says, if we do all these things, if we will repent, if we'll humble ourselves, if we will pray and seek God's face, if we will turn from our wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And then, you know, then he says, my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. So that shows me then, if we don't do these things, his eyes won't be open and he won't hear our prayers.
That's right.
It's like, you know, we pray into
a brass ceiling.
It won't go out.
That's right.
It won't go through. Mm-hmm. So when we're going to talk about over here, you're going to go to Ezekiel, you
chapter
said.
Chapter 8, yeah.
And who was Ezekiel? He was what? A priest.
A well-known, and he was a prophet.
And a prophet.
That's
he
right.
was a priest and a prophet.
That's right.
And so here we have again, I think verse 1 is pretty awesome because, you know, God tells us exactly when these things happen.
That's right.
It says, and it came to pass, it tells us in the sixth year, that would be the sixth year of his reign, right?
Mm-hmm, more than likely, yeah.
And the sixth month, well, that's, what month is that?
What is the sixth month?
Is that,
that's the month of Elul.
Elul 5, and the fifth day of the month.
Elul 5, yeah.
Right, so here he is, he's sitting in his house, and the elders are there. The elders of Judah says were there.
Did you say the fifth month? This says the fourth month.
It says the sixth. Let me go back.
Are you in chapter one?
I'm in chapter eight.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the beginning of the book. Okay,
no.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, honey.
Chapter 8,
I shouldn't have butted
in.
You're right. Go ahead, honey.
in the sixth year.
Okay.
In the sixth month.
Mm-hmm. Of their captivity.
Mm-hmm. And in the fifth day.
That's right.
Of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And now here he is. He's sitting, I sat in my house.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
God will speak to you in your house. He's sitting in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And the elders of Judah sat before him. So he had a group of men there before him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
And that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me.
Mm.
And it goes on to say, you know, what it was like. It must have been pretty awesome because this was like fire.
He reminded him of the experience he had at the beginning of the book, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What he saw, yeah.
He says, and go ahead and read this, and then you can go into what you were going to
say. Go ahead and read it, honey.
Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of the appearance of fire.
Mm.
From the appearance of his loins, even downward, fire, and from his loins, even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber.
Isn't that incredible?
This is the,
what he saw.
Is, God is a consuming fire.
That's right.
But here he is. He's sitting in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And we even know when it was.
That's right.
The exact time. And we know who else was there. He wasn't by himself. So this shows me, you know, God, you know, you don't have to be by yourself for God to speak to you. I mean, there was a witness. There were elders there.
That's right.
From Judah. Did they see what he saw? We don't know if they did or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew that, you know, he had to have been in the spirit.
That's right. It tells you right there in verse 3. It says, and he put forth the form of a hand,
mm-hmm,
and took me by a lock of my head.
Wow.
And the spirit lifted me up between earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. So see, he was taken, mm-hmm, in a spirit to Jerusalem,
spirit,
to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Well, I wonder what that image could have been. That's a good question. Well, what might that image be? The image of jealousy, you know?
Well, you're right. There was an image of jealousy, but I think about what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
There are many things that provoke the Lord because of the sin that's going on in the world today, you know? And so here, since he took him, but I guess it, by the lock of my head, I guess that would be by your hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
He lifted him up by his hair and took him, wow, between heaven and earth.
That's
between
right.
Earth and heaven. And brought me in visions. Well, the Bible says in the last days that your sons and your daughters shall have dreams and shall have visions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see the examples all through the Bible of people that, mm-hmm, had visions and that God appeared to them,
mm-hmm,
and God took them to places, you know, to show them what was going to happen, to warn them, to talk about Jerusalem and how, you know, God was provoked. He was so provoked. God was provoked a lot of times throughout the Bible. He was provoked with the children of Israel, you know, that had to wander through the wilderness for 40 years until they all died.
Sure.
That all the ones that were 20 and older,
mm-hmm,
man provokes God, and even in this day, in this hour, there are things that are provoking God.
That's right, big time.
Big time.
That's right. So anyway, I was thinking about this image of jealousy. Well, you know, back in this day, you know, they worshipped under trees and all that, and they had a thing, a god called Ashtoreth.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was the image of jealousy. I don't know, because a lot of things were wrong. But if we read this chapter, as we get to the middle of it, we're going to find out they did something with a god called Tammuz. They were worshiping Tammuz. And we'll see what God showed with all this. And when I read this week, I thought about the things that we have even in our country today. Now, we don't have a temple we're looking at, but think about this. We are the temple of God. If you're born again, that means God dwells in you. You're the temple of God. So we don't want to bring any kind of abomination into this at all. And we hear this stuff in our country that we're accepting this and that that's so contrary to the Word of God. So let's go on now and let's read verse 4, honey.
Okay.
And behold, it says, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain, in the very beginning of this book. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. Because see, they were worshiping all these false gods. And Ashtoreth was one of the big ones, and so was Baal. And then he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Now, he's looking at what Israel's doing at this particular...
Abominations.
What are we doing in our country now, you know? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here. We could say the house of America committeth here what we're doing right now. That I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again. Donald just read that in 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Return, that means to return or teshuva.
Yeah. Turn ye thee yet again, and thou shalt see what? Greater abominations. So as the years has gone by, we've had greater and greater abominations. And Donald just read this, that at the beginning of chapter 8, verse 1 here, this was in the sixth year, the sixth month. This was 6 years into their captivity. You would have thought after 6 years, they might have changed their thoughts about what was going on because things were going the wrong way. And so this was in the sixth year.
Right, so he's going to say, now look again, because I'm going to show you greater things.
That's right.
Greater wickedness.
That's right.
You know?
And so he goes on to verse 7. He says, and he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. Mm. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. 2 Chronicles 7:14 told us to turn away from our wickedness.
Turn away.
Okay. Well, our country's not doing that. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. This is like graffiti written all over the walls of the temple of God. You know, we put tattoos all over our body. That's by putting graffiti on the temple of God, the body that God gave you to walk in.
And they were trying to hide it in the house,
that's
in
right.
the inner wall, you know.
That's right.
Plaster over it, you know. So he's had him dig it out, and go through the door and see the things that are hidden in the inner parts. Well, I think about what are the inner parts of us. We are the temple of God.
That's right.
What's going on in the inner parts of us, of our heart?
You know, you got it.
And what we do. Mm-hmm. And do we look like that we're holy, or do we look like we're doing things right? But inwardly, we're wicked.
Wicked thoughts. That's right. Wicked outward expressions. The things that we do. The things that we say. The abominable things that we say.
Things that people do in secret.
Yeah. That's right. Listen.
But
to
God
all.
Knows the heart.
Yeah.
But you know, when this stuff goes on, God turns away from.
Right.
He said he's going to turn away from this place, because this is supposed to have been the holy place, the altar where the altar of God was.
The place where he chose. That's right.
That's right.
And then verse 11 says, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients. You know, there were 70 men in the Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Today, you know, we think about the Sanhedrin, 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Every man, see? Mm. These men were set aside to teach Israel to walk the right way. Then said he unto me in verse 12, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark?
Why are they in there?
Yeah.
Why are these men, ancients of Israel, in there with their censers? It reminds me about what we read about over in Numbers. About the men that had the censers, and every
from
single
Korah,
one of them.
From the Korah,
every
Korah,
single
Korah,
one
Korah,
of them
Korah,
died, yeah. didn't
right.
they? God
mm-hmm.
killed them.
Yeah. So they did these things in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got imagination going on in the world today, don't we? Especially in America. Everybody's living their life by what they think's right and what they think's wrong and all. But this, what we have in front of us, the Holy Bible, is the only truth that we have, and it's not relative. So we need to obey this book. It's not what we think; it's what God has said. And so we're coming against the things that God's put in place that's going to cause us major, major problems if we don't turn this thing around some way. And so he mentions this in the chambers of their imagery. They're imagining things, for they say, "The Lord seeth us not." The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Well, he hasn't forsaken the earth, okay? And then verse 13. He said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. There's even greater things than what he just showed, you know? Hmm. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, the same place he started, huh? And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. They were weeping. What they did in those days, they wept 40 days before the festival of Ishtar, which was a pagan god, and they called it Tammuz. Well, we have an organization in America called the Church. What do? They do things 40 days before the Passover. Okay, is this where they might have come from? I don't know. But we see this, and so they did this for 40 days before the festival of Ishtar. Well, who was Ishtar? A Babylonian fertility god and all the things we know about them. So it's unbelievable what we see, what's going on here. So I thought about this when I read this week, you know, weeping for Tammuz. And you know, the Jews have a month on their calendar.
Tammuz.
You wonder how in the world did it ever get put on their Bible? They'd been better off not calling it Tammuz. They'd been better off if they'd called it just the number on the month, okay?
Well, that's how it was originally at one time. It was just the number of the month.
Yeah.
Well, now it's going to get worse, Pastor Gene.
That's right, yes.
Verse 15.
Go ahead and read it, honey.
Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this? O son of man, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these.
That's right.
So, you know, it's just, you know, when men sin, or people sin, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And he brought me into the inner court. Now, what is in the inner court? We're getting close to the Holy of Holies, aren't
right.
we? Of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men.
25 men.
25 men.
Now, listen to this as she reads this.
With their backs towards the temple of the Lord.
Not facing it, with their backs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on.
And their faces toward the east.
The east, the eastern gate, where Yeshua is going to come through someday. Amen.
And they worship the sun toward the east.
So they worship the sun.
Sun worship.
And I believe this with all my heart. This is the reason why God never had Israel on a solar calendar. He put them on a lunar calendar with the moon. And he didn't want them worshiping the sun. We have a lot. You know, the Egyptians worshiped a god called Ra, which was a sun god. And so God wanted us to know that he didn't want us to look to the heavens to worship anything from the heavens. And so it's wonderful he put us on a lunar calendar. It's a moon that has no light of its own. And think about it, it never turns. It always stays the same way. God doesn't want us to turn away from him.
Steady on course.
Steady on course. And so it has no light of its own. It only reflects the sun out into the world. Well, we should be steady on course, not turning any way, shape, or form. And what do? We reflect the S-O-N out into the world. And it's so important. The things that God put in place teaches us about the Messiah.
That's right. That's right. They should have been facing the temple.
That's right.
Where the ark was at.
That's right.
Now but they were looking at the sun, worshiping the god, the sun,
right.
sun
now,
god.
Now read verse 17 there.
You know, the sun god came from what? Babylonia, Egypt, these places that worship sun. Yeah, you know, South America, so many places worship the sun god. Well, there's even sun worshippers here in America. They would worship the sun more than they would worship God.
Well, you look at the pyramids. Some of the pyramids had holes and things in them. For certain times of the year when the sunlight would shine in and give them some revelation of whatever they thought was going to happen, you know?
They thought,
Yeah.
Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence.
Boy, we have that today in America, don't we?
And have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose.
You know what?
They're mocking God.
You know what this branch was? Ashtoreth was a piece of wood that they carved out and they worshiped. So that's what, it's a symbol of what? Ashtoreth. It's like they put it to their nose. We're going to worship Ashtoreth.
Mm-hmm. It's
a bad thing.
Symbol.
Yeah.
Therefore, will I also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them.
You hear that?
God doesn't hear.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When they're in the midst of sin, he doesn't hear.
That's right.
He turns away. He turns away.
That's right. So, you know, if I think about this, you know, we think about all the speakers that spoke at the convention this past week here. Only one man mentioned Jesus. That was Dr. Ben Carson. The only one that mentioned Jesus, and of course, the secular news media almost crucified him over that because he happened to mention the word Lucifer.
Yes, he did.
Because let me tell you, Lucifer, Hasatan is trying to take over this country through people. And if we yield to what he's wanting to do, well, we're going to go down the wrong path. And that's where we are right now. So we got to keep this in mind as we understand what God's wanting us to know. The truth of the Word of God is the only thing that's going to save us from all this. Amen?
That's
now,
right.
I'm going to go over now to chapter 10 with you. Okay, God went through all this with Israel, told them what they were doing that was wrong and all that. And he showed them all these wonderful things. He revealed to Ezekiel again that the vision of the wheel within the wheels and the eyes round about and all that and the faces there. And we go on over here to chapter 11 now, or 10. I mean, I'm still in 10. Where do I want to start at here? I was thinking about this this morning.
What a vision he had.
To God
to show him this. He saw the glory of the Lord.
Yeah, let's read in verse 14. As he saw the vision of the wheels and all. Verse 14, and every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. Very similar to what we hear in the book of Revelation. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Kibar. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood. And when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. Now, listen to this now. This next verse is incredible. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And we read on, we find out that he left the temple completely. He left the temple completely. It's amazing when we think.
He sent the cherubims.
That's right.
To take it away. Mm-hmm. To take away the Spirit of God from the temple.
That's right. So he literally warned them all those years, and then Ezekiel had this vision about the glory of the Lord departing from the threshold of the temple. Well, think about this for a moment. You and I that are born again, that are walking with God, the glory of God rests upon us. And we don't want to do anything to hinder what God wants to do. He wants us to walk in holiness and righteousness. In fact, it says in the book of Hebrews, Paul wrote and said this, if we don't seek holiness, and what is that? Setting ourselves aside for God and doing what he wants. He said, we will never see the face of God. And so we have a thing that the church teaches about eternal security and all. You know, here this was God's house. He left that house.
Mm.
He left it completely. And you know what? It was gone all the rest of the years. It was gone. He wasn't there anymore. When did it ever come back? It's not going to come back until Jesus comes back. But the only time the glory of the Lord was in this house was the time that Yeshua walked on this earth. Whenever he walked into the temple area, the glory of God was there. But they wouldn't listen to the Son of God. They wouldn't listen to our Messiah. They wouldn't listen to the words that he had to say. And so they got more and more trouble. And look what happened. Eventually what happened? The same thing. On the 9th of Av, we mentioned earlier, the Romans came in and destroyed the temple in 70 AD, just like it was destroyed back in 586 BC with the Babylonians. So here we are. It left. Well, think about it. Could we offend God so much, do so many things that are abominations to him? Would he just leave us and leave us to do what we want? He doesn't make us do anything. So we got to do it because we want to do it. And I thought about this when I read this. He left the house of God. This was his house. This is where his presence was going to be. He left for all those years. It's incredible. When we think about it, he left. He wasn't there anymore. And so you think about it, even in Yeshua's day.
Well, he came to take away the Spirit of God from that house.
That's right.
Because that house
was
defiled, and it was abominations.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something really hidden in this next, in verse 21.
Okay.
Because when we think about Yeshua, we say he's the Lion of Judah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of things at Spirit of Prophecy Ministry where we have, say, banners. Okay, we have banners, have the Lion of Judah on it.
Right.
We have the dove. We have the dove, the umbrella, which we wave, and people go underneath that.
It's on our podium.
It's on our podium. We have the dove. And so here we talked about these different faces. So, and we talk about Jesus. Well, is he a lion or is he a lamb? Or is he,
he's both.
And what the olive is the ox, right?
Yeah.
You know, it, which represents power. And here we have this, there's a little thing here that's kind of like, I think it's kind of like hidden in here, mm-hmm. you know. You think of something being hid underneath that, those men, those angels, it's those cherubims. It says here in verse 21, everyone had four faces apiece, and we know about that.
Yeah.
And everyone had four wings,
mm-hmm.
and the likeness. Now look at this. The likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings. Who could that have been?
That's right.
Yeshua.
It's Yeshua in his pre-incarnate incarnation state, right? Before he came to the earth.
It's like it's just kind of a little hidden in there, you know.
Right.
The likeness of the hands of a man, one man, was under their wings.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
And their likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river Kedar.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
So it's just when we think about what God's put in place, and you know, we have kind of perverted the Word of God and telling people what it doesn't say. I believe with all my heart we have to walk with God. We have to walk with God. We can't go out and live like the world and think we're going to be saved when the Lord comes back. We have to walk with Him. We have to dedicate our lives to Him. And if we don't, we're in a bad place. God here was asking Israel to dedicate themselves to obey Him and do what He said. Even I talk about this a lot in 1 John. John's the first epistle that he wrote. Well, not, you know, not the gospel, but the epistle. He said over there that God's commandments and all are not what they're not grievous, because if we love God, we want to do them. And so we have to understand we're in a battle. We have to overcome Hasatan, the world, and who, and ourselves. That's what, our sin nature. We have to overcome that. And so God's put all this in place, and He was wanting Israel to follow Him. You know, you think about it. Don was talking about when they were in the wilderness for those 40 years because of disobedience. All the miracles they saw before they came out of Egypt and all that, and they couldn't hang on to what God did. They knew that He could do anything. He gave a man every day. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. And yet, within 40 days, they turned away from God and wanted to make a golden calf. Well, that's what we have in our country. We got all these golden calves around, and we're going to worship something else. Amen? Now, let's go to chapter 11 here. I was reading this also. This is very important. Verse 16.
In chapter 11, you know, it even in the beginning, it tells you who these wicked men were.
That's right.
That were princes of the people that mm-hmm. were leading the people astray.
That's right.
And you think about today, there's a lot of people leading people astray.
It says right here in verse 2, these are men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel mm-hmm. in this city. We got a lot of wicked counsel, even coming from our capital in Washington, D.C., don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We go through this now, and I want to go over to verse 16 with you. God says, therefore, say, He's talking to Ezekiel, say thus, or thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Holy places, if they walk with the Lord. Amen? They've been scattered all the world. So just remember, just because they're scattered doesn't mean that God's done with Israel, because He's going to do a work with them. We know that. So He says there'll be a little sanctuary in the countries where they come. Amen? And there's probably a lot of that going on in the world today. Verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Hear that?
Amen.
They're going to get the land of Israel. And they shall come. So we should never interfere with what God's doing with Israel. We should not interfere. We need to leave President Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister, we need to leave him alone. Let him do what God's shown him to do with that country. And God will take care of Benjamin, and He'll also take care of the land of Israel and the people. I will give you what? The land of Israel that He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob way back. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from this. That's what we need in our country today. And Israel's got some stuff going on, too.
I like what verse 19
That's
says.
That's right. I marked it. Go ahead.
It says, and I will give them one heart.
One heart.
Ooh. And I will put a new spirit within them. God's going to put the right kind of spirit within them, right?
That's right.
And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. And I will give them a heart of flesh.
That's right.
that they may walk in my statutes. This is what God's asked right from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
That they may keep my ordinances and
do them.
And do them, right. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God.
Isn't that incredible?
Well, this shows us here that, you know, God never divorced Israel. He never divorced the Hebrew mm-hmm. people. He never divorced Israel.
Nope.
And so, you know, he says he's going to do these things. And I think we're coming to that day now in the last days where these things are starting to happen.
That's right.
Jewish people all over the world are starting to believe. They're starting to have... maybe they're having visions as well, just like Ezekiel did. Maybe they're having dreams. They're going back to the land. They're being drawn back to the land.
That's right.
I read the other day, just another number of people went back to Israel, and they're going. You know, they go in with their open arms. They're accepting them. It doesn't matter how small that nation is. You know, every single Jew will be able to fit. Everyone that wants to go back to the land, there's room. There's room. You know, God says there's always room. So he's calling them back, and he's not only calling them back to the land of Israel, but he's calling them back to himself and also to what God says, you know, their ordinances and statutes. You know, Israel, just this last week, there was supposed to be a gay parade over there, okay?
That's right.
But they stopped them from going in certain places they were going to go, so they canceled it.
It's good.
So, you know, that's what needs to be done.
Stand up for the right.
We can't.
Righteous.
We can't condone. What we're doing here in America is we're condoning a lot of these things.
Sure are.
We're allowing it to happen because we think, well, everyone just needs to have
freedom.
Freedom and do what they want to do in their own heart. Well, but the government, you know, the government of Israel, you know, because they need to totally stop things like that. If they're going to follow God with all their heart, it says that they need to walk in His statutes. What are His statutes? Keeping His
commandments.
So,
and everything Paul
says,
to do.
You know, His commandments aren't, they're not hard. They're not grievous, you know.
That's right.
If we are led by the Spirit, because He said He's going to put a new, so you have to have a new spirit.
Yeah.
You have to have a new spirit, like it says in verse 19, and I will put a new spirit within them. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost. They get the Spirit. When they receive Yeshua, they're going to have a new spirit put within them.
Hopefully.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, they are. Many of them are receiving a new spirit. Now, you talked about the video we're having this afternoon. Well, Jonathan Kahn has a new spirit. He's a Jewish man. He's spirit-filled.
Born again.
Loves the Lord. Yeah. Born again. He's a Jew. And I think he even mentioned what tribe he was from. I can't remember which one it was, so I'm not going to say for sure. But, you know, he's an example of what's happening. You know, many people have even shared with the Prime Minister
mm-hmm.
about the Lord.
That's right.
And we don't know. He could be born again.
We've heard that he's accepted Christ as his Savior.
But God has him in that place of authority for a reason.
That's
same
right.
reason, same thing that he had other people down through the time in charge. And he has him there for a reason, you know, for this time and this for now. Because the time is short.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
even talking about this summer, you know, because they have all the plans for the temple. They're talking about, you know, getting together and talking about starting this the temple. Well, I don't know exactly where they're going to put it. I don't know. Are they going to be moving? You know, is that mosque going to disappear? You know, we don't know. Will we be here to see it? We don't really know that either. But if it's in the works, they're talking about it. You know, a lot of things. I liked what Donald Trump said yesterday.
On Thursday?
I like what he said. Several times he said it. You know, you got, and his daughter said it, and several other people said it. You know, you got to have a vision.
That's right.
You got to believe. You know, if you have a vision, and you know, so what do they have? These Jewish people, they have a vision. They've already made a lot of the priest garments. What is that place where they have a lot of these things?
That museum where they have the big menorah made out of gold.
They have the menorah, the huge menorah. It's outside. It's in a huge case.
When we saw
it. So they have already made many of these things that are in preparation. It's not like you wait till the house is done, then you start making the things that go in the house.
Bless me.
But they already have made, they already have, they know exactly the priest garments and all the things. They have all these things already ready for when the house is there. All they have to do is like move the furniture in. Move it in.
That's right.
Move it into the house. You know, they got the furniture. It's in storage in this place. And so, and they're continuing to make things and making the, you know, cups and instruments and all the things that they would make. You know, it's not that it's not this anything that we necessarily need to worship the Lord, but the Bible says that it will be rebuilt.
That's
right. So they have a vision, don't they?
That's right.
So we have to have a vision.
They might be getting ahead of God, but there's a vision there.
Right. And so we have to have a vision. And I believe what the messages and that Trump spoke and his children spoke and other people spoke, that, you know, we got to have, I feel like there's more hope for America.
I hope so,
if we
yes.
would turn,
I'm
if we would
that.
Do
I hope
what
so.
We said, if we would turn from our wicked ways,
that's
if
right.
we would seek the Lord, you know, I believe that he can give us more grace.
That's right, more grace. But while we're talking about this, there was a gentleman that spoke at the conference also. He said, "I am a Christian and I'm gay. My heart dropped down in my belly almost."
I know.
How can you be a Christian and say that I'm gay when the Bible says it's an abomination in Romans chapter 1 and all through the first covenant? How can we do that?
It's just like what we just read earlier about those things that he took Ezekiel in to look. Go and look and see what's inside.
That's right.
Go see what's behind the wall. Well, it's not behind the wall anymore because people openly say it. And it's
right.
openly accepted by everyone. You know, it seems like it's openly accepted by everyone. And just because he made a lot of money and he's a good businessman, but you know, so you don't look at gender, you don't look at anything, just accept everything. Well, God doesn't accept
nope.
everything.
That's what we're doing in America. We're just accepting everything. But now we just read verse 20, okay, what he would do for them if they'd walk in his statutes. But look at verse 21. We got a but. As for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and the things they want to do, huh? And their abomination, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So, we talked about that last week. There's the goodness of God, and there's the severity of God. We want the goodness of God. To do that and have that, we have to obey His holy word. That's all we have to learn how to do. Amen?
Amen.
And verse 21, while we read that, verse 22 then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. This is the Mount Olivet, better known as the Mount of Olives.
Mount of Olives. That's where Yeshua left.
That's right. And then it says, afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God unto Chaldea. Where's that? Babylon. To them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Amen. And so he spoke the things to the people. He warned them, just like Jeremiah. We talked about Jeremiah. You know, chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house." We dwell in a rebellious country right now, which have eyes to see, and see not; they have ears to hear, and hear not, for they are what? A rebellious house. So he warned them. Well, that happened years and years ago. But what's going on right now? We have the same things going on today, don't we, Pastor Donna?
Mm.
The same thing. We're in a rebellious house. And a lot of people go to church and say they know the Lord and they live according to the standards that the world's put in place that we know that the Bible says is an abomination. We should run from it and be away from it. But we accept it because of this thing called freedom. And I've said this for years. Freedom has been taken so far in the United States of America, it's turned into sin. Freedom is not a freedom to sin. It's a freedom to walk with God and to obey Him and to love Him. And when you do and do what He says, you will be free. Jesus says, what? When you know the truth, what's the truth? This book I have before me. When you know the truth will not set you free. It will make you free. I'm free. Pastor Don is free. Anyone that's really walking with the Lord, serving Him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, not being afraid to mention the name of Yeshua or Jesus, not afraid to talk about those things. Well, then we're the people of God. That's what we need. We don't have that in Washington. We don't have that. You know, they'll say, well, God bless America. Well, what God would that be? Do they tell you who it is? It could be any God, you know. Is it Allah? We got Chrislam going in the church. We got all these things. Well, which one is it? It's basically our country saying, well, whatever one you want. Well, God's going to accept that because it's all the same God. It's not the same God. There's only one God, Yod He Vav He, and Yeshua HaMashiach, His Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is it. There's no other way into the kingdom of God. So we have all these thoughts, and these are abominations to God. And no. And so I think about God. I thought about it the other day. when I was listening to some of the things in the convention. His heart must be so grieved hearing the things that we're accepting in this country. We have been totally desensitized to what God says, because people, you do it long enough, it becomes old hat, and just all of a sudden, what? We just accept it, don't we? But we don't want to accept it, do we? No.
No.
No, we don't. You know, I'll give you a good example. I was an engineer in electronics for years. There was a test I used to have to make on a receiver, you know, a receiver's a unit that picks up a signal from a station or whatever and tunes it into that radio to get it on the right frequency. Well, we used to do a test, and we called it checking for desensitization. We'd take another signal generator very near that frequency that that receiver was on, and we'd crank it up higher and higher and higher and see how much of a signal would it take to smother out that first signal that we want to get on with our receiver. Well, that's what's happened to America. These things have got so noisy and so loud. What's it doing? It's smothering out what God wants us to know and the truth of His Word. We have to get back to that. We got to quit being desensitized. But that's what the plan of HaSatan is. He wants to desensitize us in all the truth of the Word of God. He knows He's in the last days. He knows things are getting short with Him. So you know what he's wanting to destroy as many people as He possibly can. Now those out in the world that don't know Him, well, He's already got them. But how about us, the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile and Yeshua the Messiah? What about those people that are walking with the Lord? He's trying to come to steal, kill, and destroy all of us because He hates God, and because we love God, He hates us as well. But you know, the scripture also says there in John 10:10, what? That God sent His Son that we might have what? Abundance, huh? That's what? We're gonna be blessed and we're gonna have abundance. So He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Yeshua came that we might have what? Life. An abundant life. And he's not talking about money. He's talking about abundant life in every arena.
John 10:10.
John 10:10. And so that's His plan right now, is to try to destroy the people of God and to drag us out from that place. And so we have to stand tall. And we don't have enough of that today. We accept people in our government, liars and cheaters and manipulators and all the stuff that we see going on in America. Well, God hates that. And why can't we just stand on His Word like they did years ago? You know, we talk about some of our early founding fathers in the church. I think about Jonathan Edwards. What an incredible preacher he was in that day. I mean, his messages rocked the places where he went. People ran in fear because they knew that the judgment of God would come if they didn't change. Well, you know, we're really ripe right now in America for the judgment of God to somehow to come. Maybe selective judgment. I don't know what's going to happen. But just look in the last couple of years. More tornadoes, more tsunamis, more earthquakes, more fires, more floods. All this is going on. And nobody, they call it, well, it's just a quirk of nature. Well, who controls nature? God does. But they won't look to the Father, you know, and say, God, we're not doing what you want. This is why this is all happening. We want to get on our faces and ask you to forgive us. We thank you for that. And so wouldn't it be wonderful to see our leaders in Washington, D.C. just have a day one day, a new president in office. And Lord, you'll put whoever you want in there, and we pray it'll be the right one. But whoever it would be, we would just thank you, Father God, that president would want to do something very special and get away from all the political cartels and all that, and say, we're going to declare a day of prayer and fasting in America on this particular day. We want you to pray, and we want you to fast today for our country, the government that's running this country, and for all the people in the land that have all these thoughts. It's amazing. Even the people we saw that they talked to out on the streets, they were rebelling against what was being done there in Cleveland and all that. You know, just the attitude, you could just see. I mean, they had no clue what they were doing, you know. And, you know, after trying to burn our flag and all that stuff, it's incredible. And so we just have to pray somehow, some way. God's going to use something to get our attention. But we in the church, we shouldn't have to have that. We know God. We should love Him so much that we want to do what He says. And didn't Jesus say that? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Well, you know, there's rebellion all over,
sure,
all throughout the land.
Oh, and the world,
and
too.
And we could see that, yes, yeah. And throughout the world, there's rebellion. But, you know, we talked about, you know, he had Ezekiel dig in and then go through a door.
That's right.
Well, what it says over here in John 10, chapter 10, it says, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep.
That's right.
You know, all that that ever came before me are thieves and robbers.
That's right.
All thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. God's not going to hear it. The thieves and the robbers. Then he repeats himself. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Hallelujah.
Now, you know, and then it says in verse 10, The thief cometh not but for to kill, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But the hireling is not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catched them and scattered the sheep. Well, this starting this coming week, we're going to see the Democrats. We need to be able to see and discern. Christians need to be able to see and discern. You know, I believe, I don't know, remember quote word for word, but Donald Trump said he really was thankful for the Christians.
That's right.
And the evangelical
group,
support. And he said basically, you know, he felt like he didn't deserve it.
Sure.
But, you know, people have said that he has asked Jesus into his heart, that he's born again. Well, you know, Solomon wasn't perfect.
No.
And we're not electing a pastor or a priest. We're electing, the election is for a president to be able to run this nation and get back onto our constitutional rights and do things according to what is right.
That's right.
So I just really, you know, I was really blessed by listening and watching and seeing what's happening. But we need to pray.
That's right.
We need to pray and seek God's face. And we need to become together. We need to unify and be as one. And know that we need to vote. Yes, we do need to vote our heart. But our heart will lead us in the truth. And when we know this, like, and we're running out of time, and Pastor Gene's flashing the time at me,
just
so
showing him.
I'm going to have to be quiet, I guess. But anyways, we just are so thankful that you've listened to this program. If you want to give us a call, we're here in Stuart, Florida. We do have services here on Sunday morning. Tomorrow morning, we have a service tomorrow morning. This afternoon, we will be showing a video. And so come. It's at 4 o'clock this afternoon and also tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And then on Fridays, every Friday at 7 p.m.
Sure.
So I want to give our phone number. Mm-hmm. And we just thank the Lord for everyone, for all of you. If you'd like to send us an offering, that would really be help with the cost of this radio broadcast. Amen. Our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
And we mentioned up front that we're going to have a video this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Most of you heard a man by the name of Mark Biltz, who's a rabbi, Jewish man, and he wrote the books about the four blood moons, how he was the one that discovered all that. And so we've got a real good DVD about it. He brings in a lot of Hebrew with it and tells you some interesting things. So we're going to do that at 4 o'clock so you can come be a part of that. So we're honored to be here with you. We love doing this program because we know we're raising the standard in the body of Christ. If we obey the word of God, we will be blessed. Whenever you do the right thing, there will be a blessing attached to it. If we do something wrong, there will be something else. And so we pay the consequences for what we do. So we need to seek the Lord in everything we do, don't we, Pastor Don? And so as we close this program every week, we're on here because we love you and we want to see that to happen. So if you don't know Jesus, today's a good day. Today's a day of
salvation.
Ask him to come into your heart.
Change your heart.
Just like we read here in Ezekiel, change your heart.
Take away the stony heart.
That's right. So as we close, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.